This is Tina Young interviewing Annette Simpkins on the 26th of November, 2001, tape one, side two. right before I started this, you were talking about how safe you felt in the neighborhood as far as it was seemed like a very safe place.
It was safe. We could leave the house without locking the doors. We didn't have to worry about locking our windows. We could stay out playing as long as our parents would let us at night. We played hide and go seek, and girls and boys, and 10, 12-year-olds, you know. In those days, things were a lot different than they are now, and we had a good time, and there was a comradeship, or whatever you want, camaraderie, is it? Amongst the people.
Camaraderie, something like that?
Something like that, amongst the kids growing up. I mean, there were the Armenians and the Macedonians and the Hungarians and the Mexicans. We all played together, and we felt safe with one another.
Hanging out with all these kids from different backgrounds, did you feel like you were learning something from them, from their, you know, being exposed to something different, excuse me, different, like food, or, you know, thinking, oh, that's different, or was it just...
The only thing I remember is I love the Mexican tortilla. First time I ever ate one was when the people rented from my father, and she used to be down on her hands and knees cooking a tortilla over on a flat rock or something on a little grill like. I couldn't figure out what it was. You know, I had never seen anything like that. And I remember this one Hungarian guy. He was always talking about they lived in their basement and they'd have soup all the time because that was the cheapest. I mean, things like that, you know, nothing specific. We all grew up eating our own type of food and we didn't really discuss. And I guess our foods are really similar, you know. But I remember that when I was growing up, this one Hungarian woman who was a friend of my sister's, her mother used to make the most beautiful donuts you ever saw in your life. And she'd bring them over hot from the kitchen, you know. Mm. Powdered sugar donuts. God, they were good. But and some of the women made different pastries and stuff. Sometimes we were lucky and got some, you know. I remember when they had we had two or three bakeries in those days, and then they dwindled down to just one. But I can remember when they opened up a donut shop, which ended up being Busy Bee and moving to Madison, you know. But we used to stand outside that little hole in the wall and smell and watch them cooking donuts, you know, glazed donuts. Yeah, there was a lot of things going on. Sims Pool Hall was popular spot for all the fellas, and you felt safe, you know. You could walk up and down the street any time of the day or night, and you never had to worry about anything until after World War II. Then things changed. Yeah.
Was there anything specific about the neighborhood that you missed when you moved out, other than
Well, I think television had a lot to do with it. But we used to, you know, I used to go with my mother, and we'd go visit people in their homes for the evening. You know, we'd sit, and if it was somebody that had children my age, it was fine. You know, I got to play with them. If there wasn't, I'd sit and I played with a deck of cards or something. But we'd go and we visited. You don't do that anymore. The other things, we'd sit out in the yard. And the neighbors would come by, and you chit-chat. People walked in those days, up and down. So if we were sitting in our front yard, we could see everybody walking if they were going to town or coming back from town. And people stopped, they chit-chatted, you know, and they'd come over. And I remember my mother used to go in the basement, bring up a jar of fruit that she had canned, you know. But the thing I miss most is visiting with people. How we used to sit or go to one another's homes and visit.
Yeah.
And we'd sit around and listen to the radio and the good stories, you know, they'd have. I miss that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, because up, like my neighborhood, for instance, I don't really know my neighbors.
Well, that's it. Most people don't know their neighbors.
And that's a shame, because that'd be nice to have that kind of open feeling where, you know, everybody knows one another and you can visit. And
like on this block, I've been living here since they built these homes in 1954. The only ones I really know are the ones that moved here when I did. You know, and people that have come in since then, I don't know who they are, because you don't get out and you don't visit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the old days. I really do. I miss how we grew up in Lincoln Place, the closeness that was there and the goodness, and how I think it made better people of us. I really do. I wish my children could have experienced it. And I think they would have benefited wholeheartedly from it.
You know, one of the guys I interviewed, he's probably about the same age as your kids. And that's, you know, he remarked on that. He felt he was very lucky to have grown up.
Yeah. Is that Evelyn's son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yet he was a lot younger. But he was lucky that he grew up in Lincoln Place, yeah.
Because he got to experience it, even though it was changing. You know, and people were moving away at the time. He still got to experience that, and that's still with him very much.
Yeah, it is. Because even now we could sit and we could reminisce, you know. One of my best friends, of course we weren't friends then because she was a few years older than me, you know, and they didn't hang around with young kids. they lived like one house over from us. And her father had a tavern, and my dad had a tavern, and we were like competitors, you know, and I could remember seeing her cross the street. She was built like $1 million, you know, and I used to be so envious of her build, you know, and she was a good dancer and everything. God, and then she'd go across the street, and then I'd see this young fellow and his sister, and I felt sorry for them because they didn't have a mother, and the father was so mean to him. And good-looking guy, and she was real doll. And he went to World War II. He was killed. She left eventually, and she died a few years ago of cancer. So, you know, I just remember things like that, like the woman whose wake I went to today. I grew up with her. Her mother and my mother were good friends. We used to go to one another's home, you know. I've known Sue all my life. I saw her sister today for the first time in 50 years, maybe. She came down for the funeral. Sad. People drift away. Can't wait to get out of there. And then when they're gone, they wish they were back.
Yeah.
I wish things were like they were 40, 50 years ago, believe me. I didn't appreciate it then, but I do now.
Well, one thing, you got to experience something like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think most people get to experience a neighborhood like that.
No, they don't. I think in certain communities, maybe, you know. Like, East St. Louis had a community of Armenians there, but they were scattered around. They weren't as close-knit like we were. We were on the other side of the tracks. And that's speaking truthfully, we were on the other side of the tracks. But we just had some wonderful memories of how things used to be, you know, and how much they helped us. Another one that helped a lot was Alice, in those days, was Sobliski. And now she's in it. She was like, she helped Miss Prather, if I'm not mistaken, at the clubhouse.
That name sounds very familiar.
Yeah. It's Dinneth now. Alice Dinneth. One of her daughters teaches music at the schools here.
Did she teach the sewing, perhaps? Was that the woman that taught all the sewing?
She did sewing. She did everything, yeah.
Yeah, one of my other interviewers were saying, you know, well, you know, unfortunately, things have a tendency of passing, and Lincoln Place had its time and its place, but at least it had that. I mean, it's.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else happened out there that. Used to go to after Sunday school on Sundays. I think it was after Sunday school. Maybe it was after the mission. I used to stop at the bakery and get a pita bread. And by the time I'd walk those 2-3 blocks home, a quarter of it would be gone because you bite off a piece and you keep eating at it, you know, as you walk down the street. You do that now and people look at you like there's something wrong with you, you know, but it was very common to see people walking home with a loaf of bread and breaking off hunks of it, you know. But when I was in Germany, they did that all the time. They had all kind of stands along the streets and you bought
bread is very big in Germany.
Yeah. Oh, they got fantastic bread.
Heavy breads.
I love it. Have you been there?
Mm-mm. Oh. No, I'm a German student and
I love Germany. God, I loved it.
Yeah. I'd like to go, definitely. So the neighborhood really, really started changing after World War II? And
I think so, yes.
Is that because the men were coming back and they had been abroad and maybe they were moving out or they were, is it just that generation that was changing?
Well, I think the depot being built there, and I hate to say this, but it's so true. People got greedy, a lot of the people. I know people were that they rented every room of their house out to G.I. and his wife, you know. They made money hands over fist. And they changed. The people changed. And I think the war had a lot to do with it, you know. And then after the war ended, it started kind of building down a little bit. You know, people weren't, the people had changed. They just had changed. I guess the war did it. Having a little more money than they used to have, you know. People didn't have money before the war. Now suddenly they all had money. And they were changing.
They thought moving out was somehow better?
They tried to better themselves, yeah. They thought they were bettering themselves, but they really weren't. But a lot of them settled in Lincoln Place, and a lot of them are still there. So, I don't know. I think they just wanted to get out. I know my older sister did. She couldn't stand it down there. My mother loved it. It broke my mother's heart to leave there. But they did. They left. My mother missed not being able to walk to a neighbor's house and talk, you know. Meant a lot to them.
Hmm.
And they just don't do it anymore.
No. Because we did a walking tour of the neighborhood,
yeah.
and saw where things used to be and things have changed.
A lot of homes have changed. Like on that Niedring house, that first block, all those buildings on the left is where my home was. There were like 3 or 4 buildings completely destroyed by a fire in 1953, you know. So,
is that why your mom moved out there? Or moved
she had
from
just
there?
Moved out the year before, but they still owned the building.
Hmm.
And, she was devastated. I mean, I was recouping at home. I just had surgery. So I couldn't go, but she went all the way. She walked from Delmar all the way down to Lincoln Place to see about the fire when she heard about it, you know. But it did. It destroyed a lot of homes. In fact, I think the only thing that's standing there that was there originally is right in the middle of the block. There's a, used to be a barber shop. Now it's a beauty shop and something else. I forget what the other thing is. That's the only original building left. Mm-hmm. And it used to be a barber shop. They've got a credit union or something on the end of that block. But that's new. That wasn't there before. And across the street, they've torn down buildings there. there used to be a ice cream, where Ernie and Annie's Tavern is next door to it, used to be a ice cream parlor, like. And the men used to drink coffee there, and they used to play cards. And then next to that was like a, Duke. Duke was a Macedonian, I guess. And he sold comic books, and he sold ice cream and candy, and I don't know what all, you know. A lot of it's changed, a lot of it's gone. They've built up a lot of homes. Like down Maple Street, if you go down Maple Street towards West Granite, that used to be all empty on the left-hand side. There were three houses on that last block where the American Steel Foundry, like, it's right here where it's going down this street and down this street. This is West 20th. There were three homes right across the street from it. Now it's all filled up, all the way down. And I remember walking to school. God, I hated that walk.
Long walk?
Oh, yeah. I used to think if that American Steel Factory was there, I could just cut right across it, you know, because it would have been, maybe three blocks, and I'd have been there. This way I had to go all the way up the Maple Street, all the way down and Old Cross, just like almost a square, you know. But, and then we had to walk to high school. No, Central School we walked. High school we got to take a bus. We got buses in those days. Before that we walked.
It's kind of hard to motivate a kid to walk to school if it's a long walk, if it's bad weather.
We walked in any weather. It didn't make any difference. And I remember this one Armenian guy. He was like in the sixth grade and I was in our fifth grade, maybe I was in the first. He always made sure I got home. He took care of me. But I still think, I don't know if anybody has mentioned this to you or not, but there's a lot of people, if you're going into Lincoln Place, on the right hand of the side of the street, that have died of cancer. A lot. Not on the left side, the right side. And I've always felt like American Steel Foundries had something to do with it. I don't know if there's something that they've buried in those big mounds that have gone across and saturated the yards or what. But a lot of people have died on that side of the street of cancer.
Sounds like something should be looked into, definitely.
I think so. I at one time a few years ago, they were out there digging in all the yards. I never did find out what they found out, or if they did find anything. Never heard. But they even dug up our church. We were still in Lincoln Place. That they dug up the yard in the Lincoln Place. But if I remember correctly, they didn't find anything, you know. And that's hard to believe.
Well, this whole Metro East area is, especially back in the early days when they had all the factories going and all that, this is one of the most polluted areas on the map in the United States. It really is.
I believe it.
And it just makes you wonder what's out there. What's even in your own yard that your kids are rolling around in. So, let's see. We've been talking for a while now.
Have we, Billy? Over an hour.
I was just wondering.
I don't know if I said anything beneficial or not, really. Doesn't make any difference, huh?
It's just everybody's own perceptions of the neighborhood and their memories and different things. And one interview will help relate to another interview, to another, to like validate things that haven't been written down, like things that went on at the community center and such not. So, or as such. So, yeah, It's all useful.
Well, good. I hope so.
I guess I'm going to wind this down and just ask you, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anybody stand out in your mind from your childhood that was in the neighborhood, or any particular events? Oh, I know one thing I wanted to ask you. I heard that whenever there's a funeral, very early days, I don't know when they stopped this practice, everybody would, you know, join in like a funeral procession kind of in the neighborhood. Did you ever see any of those?
I remember one, and that was my sister's. I was 5 years old. Why it stuck in my mind, I don't know. But I remember this one Armenian lady from East St. Louis came and was watching myself and my niece, who's a year younger than me. And she took us, my mother, I remember the casket was in the front living room in those days. They brought it to the home. And I remember the shades being drawn and it was real dark there, and my mother crying. And I remember the sister above me, who I used to worship, had come home. She was lived on the East Coast and she was a dancer. And I remember this Armenian lady taking my niece and I to the one restaurant, Macedonian or Hungarian restaurant up the street on the next block, and buying us those little marshmallow type candies that had a ring in them. And she bought each of us 10 of them, I remember, a ring for each finger. And I still wasn't happy. I was crying for my sister because she was walking down the street in the procession. They were walking from my house. They were going all the way up and going, in those days it was the Bulgarian church, mm-hmm. which the Armenians took over in 1954, took her up, and it was horse-drawn carriage, and they were all walking. I remember that just as plain as could be.
How old was your sister when she died?
She was 20 or 21.
That's very young.
Yes.
Was it anything particular? Or?
Well, for years, they told my mother it was, she had a stomach infection. Well, I didn't find out until I was grown and married and quite a few years older that she had had an abortion that went bad. She went to somebody and they messed her up and used bad equipment or whatever, and she ended up, my mother and father never knew it though. They kept it from us. And she died when she was, I think, 21. She died in 1936.
Wow.
I was born in 31, so I was 5 years old.
You know, a lot of women died like that.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
And I found out the fellow, some guy from Madison, who was married, you know. I finally saw who he was. He used to come to our tavern, and I heard my sisters talking. They didn't know I was listening, because, of course, I was too young. They wouldn't tell me anything, you know, but I thought, God, would she ever see him? Because he was not a good-looking man. He had a scar down his cheek. He was like a gangster type, you know. But
you had another sister that was a dancer?
I have a sister that was a dancer. I had four sisters. One eloped right after I was born. That's the second oldest. The oldest never married. And then the third oldest, the one that died, and then the only one that's left living besides me is the one in California, the dancer.
Was it, what kind of dancing? Was it like stage, musicals type things?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess.
Not an easy life, I'd imagine.
Yeah, they did. I remember that one funeral procession. It's the only one I remember. And it's strange that it has stuck in my memory all these years.
Well, it's funny what your mind will hold on to, you know, because I think back when I was very young, and the things that pop into my mind, why do I remember that and not my fourth birthday or, you know, whatever.
Did anybody tell you we used to have dances every New Year's Eve? at the old Hungarian home. We'd have Armenian dances there, yeah, big dances. And they were wonderful. We looked forward to it. I mean, this is when all the groups would get together because there was no political change then, but we'd have dances. They'd come from Belleville, St. Louis, East St. Louis, you know, wherever they were Armenians, they'd all show up, you know. We'd have a best time, and that went on for years. Everybody looked forward to it.
Does that still happen, or I mean,
we have
some...
Yeah, in fact, there was a dance a week ago, this past Saturday. But it's not the same.
Yeah.
The kids nowadays, they don't dance like they should dance. They try to make jump and run, and you know, we do a ring dance, and they really mess it up bad, is all I can say. I'm glad they're learning the dances, but they're doing it so horribly. Nothing dignified about the way they're doing it is what I'm trying to say. Let me warm up this stuff for you.
Oh, okay.
Now there was, oh.
Oh. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the interview. So I'm signing off. I'd like to thank you for doing this interview with me. And that's it.